Okay, we'll get started on our women's hockey update panel, which you've all been waiting for.
It will be for the best in the future, and what we're kind of sort of doing with the whole boycott thing, I think like the 200 players or more are doing as one. I think it'll be beneficial for not only us current players, but also future players with women's hockey. And as for me coming out of university, it was kind of a shocker, but... like I said, I think it's for the best.
And Carly, maybe you can give the audience a little bit of an understanding of the PWHPA. So this is the Professional Women's Hockey Association. Probably missed a letter in there. Okay. Not easy. It doesn't roll off the tongue, but we basically band together 200 plus and even some international players.
In Canada and the U.S., you know, we realize that there's been an effort with the CW, there's been an effort with the NW, but... that's enough. Everybody needs to come together for the better women's hockey. There's not going to be a professional in Canada and a park. So I think those girls just want hockey. But it's a matter of kind of getting into that mindset that a lot of us are going to have to hang up our skates for there to be a sustainable future for people like Lauren moving forward.
Do it for Lauren.
Do it for Lauren.
But you're right. And just to build on that, I think the power of this movement is really shown in the fourth line grind and the people that have played for X amount of years that are willing to give up this year. Like, I would have enjoyed playing hockey. Don't get me wrong. I've played for 20 years, but those players that are not, like, I'm not going to make the Olympic team. So obviously I don't need that drive to see the Olympics in 2 years from now and say, okay, I have to play. The fact that we have fourth liners, we have people that have played in the league for 6-7 years that are going to be a part of this movement shows like the validity of it. Like, we understand, like, I'm not within grasp of Hockey Canada, but I still want to be a part of this movement. Obviously it's evident with Lauren and with the players that have been in the Olympics or are on that bubble, like, they need this. So they want to be a part of this movement. And the fact that they're not going to play and they're going to give up a year of development and a year of scouting. Like, we had scouts come to our games. Obviously, the CWHL was the way to see who's playing well to call up for a world championship or Olympics. So if they're not going to be playing, like, it's kind of, like, so eye-opening for a sense. Like, that's why we're not playing, is because we need this equality, and that's why we're not going to jump ship and go to the NWHL. So we just wanted to kind of get that off our chest and tell you a little bit about what it is like right now in this player movement, not playing, but seeing something maybe a year in the future. And I've talked to some of the players, the 9 that you mentioned that are representing us, and there will be opportunities to see us hopefully play. I'm not sure us necessarily see Lauren play, but there'll be showcases. You know, we're going to try to make sure that we're on the ice. Maybe we have a Toronto game, a Chicago game, a Buffalo game where people can come and see the players that are not in that league, and that's kind of a showcase, and we know we'll have interest. We know people are waiting for that, so it's kind of exciting. You know, there's not going to be 2 games every weekend, but there'll be those showcases, and I know you talked to Noxie today. She might be able to give more insight.
Yeah, so there are going to be showcases throughout the year. Exactly where those showcases are going to be, we can't release that yet. There is individual interest from the NHL, from NHL franchises who are going to be backing this and helping us. Again, the exact details of what's going on, again, is kind of confidential, but we can tell you that there are individual franchise conversations going on. There will be showcases, and there will be an opportunity for the players to travel throughout North America to showcase exactly what's going on. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of the PLL or the WPLL. It's a professional lacrosse league and the Women's Professional Lacrosse League. And they actually just started this model, I want to say this year or last year. And to get the interest, or to kind of increase the interest and awareness of professional lacrosse for both women and men, what they do is they don't have a central like home base for each team. The teams are actually meant to travel to different locations every single weekend and host entire weekends for minor lacrosse players and interested in fans. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they host camps, they have different meet and greet sessions, and those sessions or those weekends are topped off by a game on the Sunday, and then they travel again to the next location. So it's more of a development idea, and I think this is where we're kind of headed. Not that exact model, but it's more of a, it's time to showcase the product a little bit more, not have a central home base, but, you know, make people realize how good women's hockey is.
And I think that will help, because if we look at the CWHL, we had 1 team out west in Calgary. We had 2 in the GTA, nothing out east past Montreal. And we had Boston. I'm forgetting somebody. Let's see.
Who are we missing?
Rest in peace. I don't know.
Calgary, Toronto, Montreal, Boston, China.
Oh, China. How did I forget China? Yeah, so we weren't covering... That's hilarious. We weren't covering at all enough of Canada, North America. We got the global parts out, but we weren't able to, like, Vancouver, out east. Like, you know how many kids live out east that want to play hockey and, like, have a team? I think this is why this showcase model will work better, because we can, well, I keep saying we. It's not going to be me. The players can travel and get showcase and get fans and interact with kids. And, like, for me, that was the best part. I played 1 year in the CWHL, and I didn't play much, but what I did was interact with the fans after the game, sign autographs, meet little kids that were pumped to, like, they're like, what number are you? 11. They're like, Mom, I didn't see her. I'm like, I was on the bench, but I'll sign your jersey. Like, they're just so happy to be there and to meet you and say, one day I want to play in the CWHL or a league that exists. And it doesn't matter if, you know, you're the top player on the team or not. If you're able to make that interaction with a young girl or a young boy we had at our games too, which I thought was a really cool boundary breaker, because usually guys are watching guys and girls are watching girls, and have, like, little boys teams there was just awesome. So I think this showcase model will reach a lot more fans and have that weekend, hopefully, just for women's hockey. Speaking of women's hockey, we wanted to talk about Haley Wickenheiser. How can we be up here on stage without acknowledging someone that obviously has kind of shaped our careers, our futures? You know, I remember I just wrote a little piece about this, and it was really sentimental, and it brought me back when my first memory of watching women's hockey was the 2002 Olympics, and I had only ever watched boys hockey. I was a big Leafs fan with my family. I was the biggest tomboy. I wanted to be the first girl in the NHL. And eventually my parents, you know, we watched the Olympics together, and I saw Haley Wickenheiser, who had, like, the most incredible breakthrough Olympics, obviously MVP. They won their first gold. And I remember seeing her and being like, I want to be like Haley Wickenheiser. And she had this bomb interview after where she's like, F the U.S., like, you guys stepped on our flag. And she was so fierce. And I was like, girls can be fierce. I don't have to pretend I'm a boy. I used to tuck my hair into my helmet and to my shoulder pads so nobody knew I was a girl, because I played on the boys' team and I didn't want to stand out. And then from that moment on, I wanted to be like Haley Wickenheiser, and I wanted to chase my dreams, which obviously kind of fell short. But she got me into hockey, and she got me into, like, the incredible education that I've been able to get through hockey. And now my job is hockey. And it's like, if I didn't have that female role model, which now the girls without a lead to look up to don't really have, we wouldn't maybe be where we are today. So, like, that was my kind of tribute to her when I saw that she obviously deservingly got into the Hall of Fame. And it kind of got me thinking, like, wow, I don't know if I would be here or have my career without Haley. I don't know if you guys feel the same way.
Yeah, no, I think she definitely paved the way for women's hockey. She's definitely an amazing player and fierce, like you said. She obviously is a great role model for young kids, and even me when I was growing up, all of us. I think she definitely got what she deserved being inducted into the Hall of Fame, and that's obviously an amazing accomplishment, and I'm really happy for her.
Have you had the chance to meet Haley, spend time with her, be on the ice with her?
Not yet.
You will soon, I'm sure. She can be like your mentor into your Olympic career. But no, like, I mean, you're a bit younger than us. Yeah. So maybe you didn't see her in the Olympics till like 2012.
I'm trying to think. So Haley is the first ever woman non-goalie to play professional hockey full time. So she played in Sweden, yep. I think. For men's league. I think it was Sweden or Switzerland.
Somewhere over
there. Was that too? Other than Manon Réaume, who you all know and played for Tampa, had a little stint with them, but she was the first ever female professional women's hockey player, which is really cool, to be honest. And I remember her growing up. She started on the national team when she was 15, and by any means, like, that is unbelievable to be able to start on a national team at 15 years old. And she paved the way, and she played, God, it was 1994. I was doing a little bit of research today, so it was 1994 when she started, and she just finished a few years ago, which is crazy for somebody to play on a national team for that long. I have so much respect for her and what she's done for the game, and now she's working for the Leafs as well. And, you know, the things that she has done has broken down barriers for the past 20 or so years. So kudos to her, hats off to her. Mm-hmm. I will take a drink for her, even though she's not here.
I like that. And one thing I want to mention when you say breaking boundaries, not just in terms of what she does on the ice and what you said with the Leafs is important. Like, she is a professional woman hockey player who's retired and made a career in a very male-dominated sport in an organization that has a lot of guys in it, and she's out there on the ice with the recruits, and I love seeing how they're like, we're learning from Haley Wickenheiser. Like, she's awesome. I saw feedback from their development today. Like, she's there, and the guys respect her, and they look up to her, not just like, oh, it's a women's hockey player. It's like, she's the greatest. Like, it's not divided anymore. And one thing that I think, I hope, comes from her induction and her platform, which she's already had, but it's going to be even bigger, is she's obviously aware of what's happening with women's hockey, and I'm looking forward to seeing how she uses her platform possibly to address the void that we have right now. And in the past, I remember when the CWHL folded on May 1st out of the blue, she tweeted something like, I can't help but think this is for the greater good. And she hashtagged one league, and she hashtagged a couple of things that we still believe now a couple months later and we're trying to work for. So I'm hoping that Haley Wickenheiser can use her platform and see that, you know, she is our token. She's our goat. Like, we need her to kind of take us under her wing and see what we can get in terms of fair treatment, quality payment. And that's just something I thought that if she was listening, she might be on the Twitter feed, Haley, if she was listening. And I know she's obviously very in tune with what the Hockey Canada program is doing, but just a side note. Anyway.
Totally agree with that.
Cool. Just wondering if anyone had any questions. If not, we can probably still talk about lots of things. Yeah. Way back there. Hi.
So understanding that you don't speak for the Players Association as a whole, I was curious if you had any insights on why the initial press release, you said, the Players Association said that they wouldn't be playing in North America, as opposed to why they wouldn't be playing in a women's league. So I thought that was surprising. If you look at players like Shannon Zabados, who did play in a North American league previously, why it was worded that way, if you have any insights into that.
I can take a stab at it, but I think it was more so that centralized front. So rather than how did you, it was either in North America or what was the other word, a women's
league?
So
they said that they wouldn't play in North America.
Yeah.
And I was wondering why they wouldn't say, we're not going to play in a women's league.
I think it's more so, you know, we're ready to give up hockey as a whole in North America for the greater good of the game. So we're not going to play on a junior B team. We're not going to do any of that. We're actually going to hang up our skates so that we can move forward as a unified front, so that we can, you know, get that professional image, I guess I could put it that way. Does that answer your question?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, hi.
With that in mind, what would have to be true for you to play against?
Oof. You want a list? Just kidding. But I mean, you know, definitely there's a couple, like, key things. Like, if we had a wish list of what has to happen, I think just looking at making a sustainable wage. And it's funny, as soon as you say that on Twitter, like, oh my God, people are like, you want to make $10 million? Like, have you not seen that no one watches women's hockey? It's like, hey, I never asked for $10 million. I asked to make, like, a sustainable living. Like, I lost money playing the sport I love last year because I just couldn't financially support driving to the rink. And I didn't have gear. Like that stuff is just so simple. Like, we can't afford to fly places. We can't afford to do so many things are just overlooked by how much money other leagues have, and no one's asking for millions of dollars, make maybe just $1,000. Like, I just think making a living wage that we're not losing money and having to sacrifice and work two jobs or not be able to, you know, balance what else you're doing with your life.
So I have an example of what I did this year. So I had my daughter in September. And typically, Markham or Toronto, we would bus to Montreal, right? It's a 6-7 hour bus ride. My first games back were against Montreal in January, and I couldn't afford to be away from my daughter for that long. So I actually paid out of pocket to fly to Montreal to play those two games, or to play that one game on the Sunday and fly back home. So that was out of pocket payment. So going into what Ailish was saying, like, we shouldn't have to do that, right? What would your ideal wish list be?
Maybe a league for you to play in would be a good start.
That would be great. I mean, a wage that I could live off of. You obviously can't live off of $2,000.
Maybe if you live at home.
That's Got to pay for food, obviously gas mileage, everything like that. You know, enough money that I could live on my own, you know, pay for housing, pay for rent, all those little bills that you have to pay for, wouldn't be paid for with $2,000. So.
And one thing just to say on that is, like, Lauren is fortunate enough, obviously, to be in the Hockey Canada program, so training and skating and going to get extra ice, and I'm assuming a lot of other things are covered by her program. I'm not in Hockey Canada, so if I want to go to the gym, I want to need a gym membership, I need to buy equipment, I need to go to physio, I need to get to places, get ice, that comes out of pocket. So how am I supposed to propel myself to the better levels to push myself in the off season to try to make, you know, third line? Like, I can't do that if I don't have the money. Like, I can run the stadium at U of T all I want, but, like, it is going to set you apart from someone coming straight out of college who's been on the ice and has personal trainer and has skill development and can go to a nutritionist and can get her bumps and bruises fixed, because that's covered. Like, I can't do that. I had hip surgery once and I'm out soon. Like, it's like my hips are 90 years old and I'm not going to be able to rehab that because I don't have that ability. So you look at just like that small gap between what the national team can cover and what you don't get covered. Would just be great to have us on an equal playing field, so my hard work and Lauren's hard work isn't going to set us apart because I can't afford to get stick handling lessons or something.
We've got a question here by the wall.
Great.
Thank you. I'm wondering, with the news of the announcement today with the WNBA and more exposure to Canadian national TV audiences and the success of the Women's World Cup right now in France, and seeing all of these milestones and big steps obviously making a difference for women in sport, perhaps just a comment on that. And then I'm wondering, with the women's hockey players coming together to have that union, to have that voice, have you worked with any leagues or associations outside of hockey, whether it be basketball or soccer, to perhaps brainstorm and come up with some things that worked and just general tips?
I'll just quickly touch on the media stuff because I'm involved in that field. And today I saw the WNBA is obviously streaming or putting games on TV, and it's like, That would make such a huge difference. A lot of people didn't know the CWHL existed. We had one weekend with Sportsnet where there was a two-game series that was really successful. And then our Clarkson Cup game, like our championship game, was streamed on Sportsnet, most viewership ever. And it's like, well, there's a need for it. People want to watch it, but it wasn't provided more than those two times. And now we look at the WNBA, who's going to be streaming 30-something games in Canada. And like that, obviously someone needs to pay for that, but it looks like that's a great step forward. And I saw that today and I thought, maybe if we had that opportunity, things could be different. So media coverage, having our stories told, having people interested and being able to access us if they can't come to our five rinks that we were playing in, like, I think you're right, it makes a huge difference. And then obviously seeing like how big the World Cup is, I saw today that like the second most expensive tickets this year so far are Women's World Cup soccer. I mean, it's France and USA, I get it, but women's sports are successful too. But I just think we get grouped into, nobody watches it, so don't worry about it. Like, I think you're right about our media presence would really drive more money, drive more fans, and hopefully create a league. But free to add on that. No.
That second part in terms of meeting with other leagues to move forward, I'm sure there have been. We're kind of removed from the entire process. You know, there's been this corporate structure set up where players like Ailish and Lauren and I, you know, we are only at that, you know, that third level where we have two levels above us that are really having those high-level conversations. So I'm sure there have been conversations. I was speaking to Noxie earlier, and they're doing a really good job at making sure that all of their, you know, all doors are open, every step is tracked. They're making sure to have those difficult conversations so that, you know, we make sure that the plan that we have moving forward is the best possible one. So I wish I could answer that for you. We're not at that corporate level with the PWHPA, but we have full confidence in them that they're doing a great job.
So we've got one last question for this panel over here on your right.
Hey, Ailish.
Hey, how are you?
In terms of the business model, like I know like the WNBA leans heavily on the league and like their local markets as I guess helping with the revenue and the money in general, but what do you see that as a better approach, or would you rather go with something like the AHL where you're in like kind of isolated markets that are hockey starved? Where do you see being the best business model in terms of revenue generating and actually creating money for the league?
It's funny because at first, like when this happened, everyone looked directly at the NHL and said, okay, like, let's go. This is your chance. Put your money in, create a women's hockey league under the NHL. Like Toronto would have a Toronto women's Maple Leafs, you know, like it would be like so connected. And I think that was our first answer because we didn't know what else there was. And we saw how successful the WNBA was and we thought, okay, well, must work similarly. But now, with the lack of response kind of in the NHL lately, they had their period of time to address it and they did some very broad tweet, like, we support you, and didn't say like what that meant. Like, nobody knows what that means. Like, it was very vague. Nobody knew what that meant. And then there's been no steps taken. I don't think that that has to be the path. And clearly there's not a lot of movement on that sense. And I also, to touch on what we said, I think we're not really seeing kind of what's going on behind the scenes. But maybe you know from Noxie a bit more about that.
So the AHL model seems like a great model. It's more regionalized, centralized. There's going to be training centers set up. And then those training centers are going to act as the temporary teams during this kind of development year. After that, there are going to be, hopefully, there's going to be an actual league. So the idea is that these training centers will act as the AHL teams for the future league, and the future league being kind of like that NHL model. Kind of to answer your question, Gary and the NHL did not step in because there's currently another professional opportunity for women with the NWHL. And I'll come to Gary's defense. I know a lot of people don't like him, but sorry. From a business perspective, he doesn't want to come in and squash a female entrepreneurial opportunity. And what Danny's been doing with the NWHL is an entrepreneurial kind of endeavor, and he doesn't want to step on that, which is kind of a good PR move, just given where we are in women's equity at this point. That would be a really bad move for him from a PR standpoint to step on them. So I think that's why they didn't really say anything. But to answer your question, that regionalized type of AHL development center, NHL professional team, I think that's the route we're going in, but TBD.
Yeah, and the NWHL, like, sorry, I'll backtrack a bit on what I said. Obviously, I put it on the NHL, but it was a lot on the NWHL that other existing league too obviously say, hey, we see this is for the greater good. We'll step back. So it isn't fully Gary's fault. But, I mean, maybe something behind the scenes could have been a great way to do that and have our league built. But I think I do give props to Danny, who's the commissioner of the NWHL, because she saw an opportunity to build the league, and she's very much strongly minded and opinionated and going to continue to do that until it fails. And that's a really great sign of woman empowerment. But sometimes we look at it like, is it taking steps back from where we could be in September? And we won't know that. But at the same time, if I was Danny, I'm sure I wouldn't want three athletes up here bashing her because we want to play in a league. So I get what she's doing. Don't get me wrong, but I just wish that they could see the bigger picture, maybe where they could have, you know, stepped back and been a part of this new league that's being built too, right?